Michael Jones is in. We are going to chat, well, film for the final time for 2017, but you'd actually like to run through some of your best and worst for the year.
Just to be really different from every other film
best
critic going around, I thought I'd do best and worst list.
I won't hear a word against them, I won't. But let's start with the best and save the worst for last.
All right, just before I do, just a bit of a disclaimer. I haven't seen every film released in 2017, but I've probably seen more than the average punter who doesn't come on radio to talk about films. So this is as comprehensive a list as I can make. So like you said, we'll start off with some of the best. And I'll also say there'll be no superheroes featured in my best of list.
Wow, yeah, okay.
Afraid not. Films that actually moved me and made me feel something made my best list for 2017. I'll start with The Salesman. That was an Iranian film, Ashkar Farhadi's follow-up to The Separation. It was a brilliant film about repercussions of an assault, throwing a bit of jealousy and paranoia, and the play Death of a Salesman, and you've got a pretty cracking film there.
People did love that. They got rave reviews.
Yeah, well deserved. I'll move on to another really good film, Dunkirk. Epic filmmaking from Christopher Nolan. The evacuation from Dunkirk, told from three different points of view, which ultimately all intersect towards the end of the film. Visually spectacular filmmaking. Any thoughts? Did you catch that one?
I did not actually catch
that one.
No,
well,
I know. I'm terrible.
It's probably available for download now.
Yeah, I can probably do it that way.
Yeah. A couple of tennis films also featured in my best ofs for this year. Battle of the Sexes and Borg versus McEnroe. Whoever thought tennis could produce such great drama? But when you've got characters like Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King, John McEnroe and Bjorn Borg, played by great actors, you've got winners being smacked all over the court.
did love those.
I really did. Ingrid Goes West was another film I really loved. It was a clever film that questioned our obsession, our modern day obsession with social media in a very darkly funny way. That, and I kind of love Aubrey Plaza, so it had to get in there.
Sharply written, very fun, and nice to see a good, solid, low budget indie aesthetic film doing so well.
Yeah, thumbs up to that one. I really enjoyed that film. Well, something at the other end of the scale, Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
Probably exceeded everybody's expectations for a sequel. There are a lot of wariness about this, but everybody was quite excited once they actually saw it. Intelligent, spectacular sci-fi from Denis Villeneuve, if that's the correct pronunciation. No dreaming of electric sheep during this one. You wouldn't be able to look away from the screen, let alone fall asleep.
I thought it was brilliant. Absolutely. And a lot of people said it was badly paced. Could not disagree more. I think it had glacial pacing, but that was essential to the way the story was being told.
Now, another film which not a lot of people saw, Detroit. This was a challenging, intense film from Kathryn Bigelow that will make you extremely angry. This film demonstrates that African Americans have been getting a raw deal from the police since way before Black Lives Matter. This historical drama is based on a real life event that took place in 1968.
Wow.
So you'll be raising your fist in solidarity and then probably shaking it in anger if you go and see this one.
I am meaning to catch it.
A couple of other really good films. Another foreign language film, The Teacher. This was a Czech film, made its first appearance at the Sydney Film Festival this year. Set in the late 60s, possibly early 70s, when a group of parents decide to challenge a corrupt, manipulative teacher with party connections. This could be interpreted as some sort of criticism of communism, but I saw it more as a critique of corruption that is fostered by totalitarianism and how people are allowed to get away with what they do by people just not saying anything.
It totally passed me by. I remember hearing a little bit about it at Sydney Film Festival, but never actually managed to see it.
Another really good film, probably made the most money for the smallest budget, Get Out.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it was a very clever homage to both blaxploitation and B-grade drive-in style horror films from the 60s and 70s, and some very black humour, of course, if excuse the pun there, and also some contemporary commentary about black-white relations in the United States today. Get Out really got me in.
Yeah, it was great.
Yep. And finally, what I think will probably be recognised as the best picture of 2017. It's had a few preview screenings, so I'm going to talk about it. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. It gets its official big release soon, but like I said, it's had some preview screenings. It's a very clever film about grief, anger, empathy and forgiveness. It's written and directed by Martin McDonagh and stars Frances McDormand and Woody Harrelson. All the signs are there for a very satisfying viewing experience.
You're tipping that for a bit of Oscar bait as well?
Total Oscar bait, but if it doesn't take home at least 3 or 4, I'll be very, very surprised. Sorry, there is one more film. I've been talking for a long time, but the best Australian film I've seen this year, which has had a run at festivals. Again, it gets a release in January, but quite a few people had a chance to see it. Warwick Thornton's drama, Sweet Country. Compelling viewing, dealing with pretty horrific treatment of Indigenous Australians as late as the 1920s when they were seen as little more than livestock. Yeah, pretty disturbing viewing. Very difficult themes tackled in this film. Sweet Country will leave you with a very bitter taste in your mouth if you have any sense of social justice, but a terrific film.
From a terrific director. Mm. All right, let's flip it. Let's get to the good bits. What's the worst of 2017?
The worst. I just want to point out that I do love watching films and even watching bad films. I'm very lucky to do what I do. I don't get paid for this. I just do it because it's kind of fun. But let's get into the worst. And for once, no Adam Sandler films featured on the list this year, though there was one very surprising actor that popped up in two films. For these first two worst films popped up very early in 2017. I thought it was going to be a really, really bad year for film. Assassin's Creed. A film based on a popular computer game. Enough said, really.
Yeah, really. No,
have you ever seen a good film based on a computer game?
There aren't any, and we thought Assassin's Creed might be it. I did the interview with the director. It was just a poorly done film. Even if it wasn't based on a video game, it was a bad film.
Absolute dog's breakfast, that film. That was followed up, I think, later on in January by Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage. Another X possibly should have been added to the title of this film. It was absolutely toxic. Dreadful, dreadful film. Another film that came out early in the year that was actually Oscar bait for 2016 was Silence, Martin Scorsese's boring film about two priests hiding out in 17th century Japan. The only sound you may have heard in cinemas would be snores from a comatose audience. Really, really dull stuff. A bit more Oscar bait, Fences. Poorly adapted from stage to screen. Way too much talking from a very angry, hateful Denzel Washington. People actually started walking out of this film after about 45 minutes at the screening I attended.
Wow.
Yeah, they weren't impressed. Let's give a nod to an Australian film in here, A Few Less Men. If ever a film did not deserve a sequel, it was the appalling alleged Australian comedy A Few Best Men, which came out a few years ago and featured in this very list. I must say. I really didn't think a film could get any worse than A Few Best Men, but A Few Less Men proved me quite wrong. The highlight of this film was actually when Deborah Mailman's character just walks out of her scene with no explanation and just never returns. I thought that pretty much summed up her feelings about being involved.
Yeah, I like to believe that was just Deb Mailman getting the hell out.
Yep, good on her. A Kong Skull Island. I mean, King Kong goes to Nam. It was just a really, really stupid idea. You look like you disagree with me there.
I do, weirdly. This is the first time I think we've disagreed. I had a blast with that film.
Well, each to their own. That's all I can say. Yeah, you can love that one. Rules don't apply. They really should have to this 2-hour and 7-minute snooze fest.
I don't even remember hearing about it.
Well, you haven't missed anything.
Good.
Rules
all
don't
right.
apply. Let's move on. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Guy Ritchie made two good films back in the late 1990s.
But he did.
They really should stop giving him money because he hasn't made any since. The Round Table will forever remain incomplete. There was talk of franchises here, but no, it's just not going to happen. I'm sorry.
Good.
And speaking of hoped-for franchises, The Mummy. Sorry, Tom Cruise. Brendan Fraser. Remember him? He did it way better. And surely Russell Crowe did have a look at the script before signing up to do this rubbish. DC's Dark Universe implodes into a black hole way before any thought of expanding.
I think it's killed it all, hasn't it?
No, definitely. It's dead as a doornail. Rough Night, female version of Bachelor Party, crossed with Very Bad Things. One of the worst things about this film was Kate McKinnon's attempt at an Australian accent. Was Rebel Wilson busy that day?
Apparently.
Yeah. More yuck. Another Australian film featuring on this list, Killing Ground, bloodthirsty little Australian torture/murder porn flick. I have no grounds to watch this film ever, ever again. Few more to come. Sorry.
All right, that's okay.
Girl Strip. Rude, crude, and really, really unfunny. Made a lot of money, but not
a fan.
Not a fan. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
The Mountain Between Us. Oh, you look disappointed, Nick. Yeah, I think you enjoyed this one.
I recognise its many flaws. I'd just watch Idris Elba in anything.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm worried about. What were Idris Elba and Kate Winslet thinking when they got involved in this picture? I just wish there had been a mountain between me and the cinema to stop me from going to watch this film. Yeah, I was very, very disappointed. And there was a lot of snow in that film. There was a lot of snow in this film I'm about to mention now. The Snowman, featuring Michael Fassbender.
His second appearance on the list
for 2017, yes. This was a story about a detective who hunts someone who butchers people. It was actually totally butchered to the point where it made almost no sense. It starred no Norwegians, and it started with the second last book of the series
by Joe
Nesbø. No franchise here either, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yep. I feel comfortable with that getting put in the bin.
And, I think I've just about come to the end of my list. American Assassin. Did you catch that one?
No, I didn't even bother.
At first I thought I was watching some revenge porn for the far right, but then I realised I was just watching every repeat of every crappy straight-to-video movie I hired in the 1980s. American Assassin missed the target completely.
All righty. Thank you very much for running the list. I'm very impressed.
That's all right.
Michael Jones, we'll be back with some... More, hopefully, positive movie reviews in next year.
It's been a pleasure.
It has been a blast indeed.